Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of Wandering the Weekend. This week's Wander, we are kicking Steph off the microphone, and we are headed up to my annual cabin weekend. We're going to be joined by Joel, Chantel, Alec, Sam, and Chris, and we are going to have a special podcast all centered around this annual tradition of mine. We all took our COVID tests just to be sure that we were safe. We wiped down everything twice a day, and then we got together and we played a lot of board games. We ate a lot of good food, but don't take my word for it. Let's cut to the cabin.
Hey, everybody. We are live here from the cabin, and it is my annual cabin weekend. This is the sixth year we've done the cabin weekend. And I'm joined here. We are taking the broadcast over, and we left Stephanie at home this week. And I'm here with special guests Joel and Chantel, who are joining me this year. And Joel, you actually are one of the OG cabin weekend guests.
That's right.
And Chantel, you're the rookie. And what did I tell you? The rookie doesn't leave the kitchen until all the chores are done. So get back there.
Hold the paper plates, too, while you're at it.
No, I'm just kidding. But we got to give the rookie a little bit of a hard time because, you know, rookies.
Right.
Well, you guys don't know, but I've had this annual cabin weekend going for about 6 years. It started off as kind of a way to commemorate my dad's birthday, but we've kind of moved it earlier in the year because we kept getting snowed out. So we moved it to mid-November versus early December. So, Joel, what do you remember from, like, the early cabin weekends that we've had up here?
Two that I've been to. Not only were they outdoors and it was fun, but yeah, visiting some local grocery stores. And the first one, we went to the area near Brainerd, if I remember right.
Yeah.
It was like an outdoor Christmas village type thing. You go on a hayride and all that, and they drive around the displays. That was pretty cool. Do you remember what the name of it was?
It's over where the Paul Bunyan land is, but I can't remember in Brainerd, but I don't remember what the name of the actual village is called.
Yeah, but that was fun. I actually enjoyed that, regardless of being cold. And I mean, dead middle of December, but that was pretty fun. And then, as it was my first time, and it was sort of like a reunion with me, you, and
the old crew
that was first year of cabin weekend I was with. So, and then the second one, we went to Duluth, my first time to Bentleyville. It was 2017. And so
I remember that Bentleyville one. We got down there and it was started snowing, and then like Leo was having some problems, so I had to carry him the whole way. Mm-hmm. That was your first time meeting Steph, wasn't it?
That was my first time meeting Steph, yes.
Yep, so then we went over to her apartment, hung out there for a little bit, and we tried driving home, and I couldn't get up and down those hills.
Well, I was baffled when we were actually on our way back to the car. There was a big Greyhound bus trying to go up the hill there, and it was just like barely riding up the street. And I was like, That was crazy. It was like, all right, he's pursuing to get out of there. So, I mean, the bus eventually did leave, but I was just kind of intrigued by, was that even going to happen? It was like, is the bus driver going to even get that bus out of there? Because it was snowing pretty good, you know, and streets were kind of mushy. So the road conditions were pretty unfavorable.
You know what I remember from that first one that I almost forgot about is we went to Jack Pine Brewing, the old Jack Pine Brewing.
Oh, yeah, because they wasn't really up for drinking beer, so they had their own root beer, I think, if I remember right, and they actually had a root beer there.
The last couple of years, we actually kind of switched to another crowd, and Sam and Alec from the new crowd are coming up later, and they'll join us in a later segment of this episode. And then, Chantel, you're our rookie. So what do you think so far? Are you having fun? Everything going okay?
I am having fun. I like being around people and stuff like that, learning new cooking skills from you. So
yeah, you're learning stuff from me. I never get that. That's usually Steph's department. What's been your favorite food so far? Like, what are some of the memorable highlights?
The smoked chicken last night.
Oh, the smoked chicken. That was probably the best I've ever done. So, I took Steph's advice and I brined the chicken. I got up real early in the morning and I brined the chicken in a salt bath. And then after that, I took it outside and smoked it in the smoker for about 2.5 hours till it was 166 degrees. And it came out, and it was just, even the breast meat was so moist and so good. And I use applewood smoke on it. And we're actually going to use the leftovers from that to make jambalaya later today, a smoked jambalaya.
Yummy. That sounds good too.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. Oh, I guess we'll talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about that tomorrow when we talk about all the food we've had. Any other good food so far?
I don't know.
We haven't really done any of the big cooking. I mean, we're just starting that. So, like, we've got the dump cake and the homemade ice cream tonight. We have the jambalaya tonight. Tomorrow, I'm making my infamous smash burgers. So we got a lot of good things coming up later in this episode.
Yeah.
What I really enjoyed about this year, and this is something that I actually had somebody coming up with me this year versus the last 2 years. So we actually kind of made it a little road trip. Mm-hmm. So Joel, you joined me in on that road trip, and we got to go to some real fun places.
Yeah.
And of course, that included a lot of grocery stores.
A lot.
So we went to Dollar Fresh in Glencoe, Minnesota, which was a Hy-Vee's new dollar store format. And then we made it to Marketplace in St. Augusta, which is owned by Coburn's. And then we were at Cashwise, which is also owned by Coburn's up in St. Cloud, which I haven't been to in a very long time. And then we went to a co-op the next day when we went to go pick up Chantel.
Oh, yeah, in Cambridge, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool place.
Yeah. I also got to see a really cool store that I hope to highlight in a future episode called The Gamer's Den. That was a lot of fun. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So let's talk about the grocery stores that we went to. What were your thoughts? Which ones are your favorite?
Well, in a second here, I'm probably going to have you refresh me the one that we, the Marketplace. Oh, yeah, I kind of remember now. For some reason, I'm forgetting that we went there.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one we went to was the Dollar Fresh in Glencoe. And I kind of wasn't sure how cool it would be or how interesting it would be. I was just thinking about it mentally, you know, and all that. And by the time we got to the parking lot, and it kind of, you can sort of see from the outside what it looks like from the inside. I'm like, oh, just, I don't know, just, I haven't, I know we all have different perceptions. And so as I was kind of like moving my head back and forth, just kind of see if I can get a glimpse. And I was like, so I got a good glimpse of Dollar Fresh. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. So we walk in, and the minute I walked in, it's like, oh, wow, this is quite interesting. And going through each aisle, and I'm like, I don't get this. This is a, if this is a Hy-Vee brand.
Format, yeah.
Yeah, Hy-Vee format. But all their, you know, I'm kind of still intrigued that all their, most of their supplied is a food club.
Which is done by Topco. And I'm wondering if Topco was able to give them a better price or if Hy-Vee didn't want their name, their Hy-Vee brand name associated with the dollar store format.
Yeah, I thought the layout was very interesting and prices were not too bad. And
no, the prices were real solid. It's about what I would have expected from Aldi's.
Yeah, so it's kind of in that lane, and just like I was telling you, you know, like if that was the only grocery store and I was living in, well, if it was between them and say Aldi or Cub in Glencoe, if there was, I would choose that one.
I would work it into my rotation.
Yeah, right,
for sure. Right. I was really surprised it had a lot more national brands than like an Aldi format would.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely had some high end brands that I wasn't expecting to see. Like I saw a lot of Primal Kitchen, which is a high-end, usually like a reduced sugar type salad dressing and barbecue sauces. That's where I know them, the Primal Kitchen lines from. So I was really shocked to see that. But then like in the barbecue section, they had Sweet Baby Ray's. In the pancake section, they had Kodiak. So I was really surprised. It was much more than a limited format where like Aldi's is like really super concentrated on their private label, but this one was much more expansive. And their fresh departments were much more expansive. Like they had a little restaurant area. It wasn't a deli. You still had to go get all your deli meats from the refrigerated section.
Right.
But they had like a place to get like pizzas, and it looked like they make sandwiches and stuff like that.
So, yeah, it looked like that's what they do there.
The only thing I was a little disappointed in was their produce was a little shaggy. There was no coleslaw mix.
Yeah.
Which is something I would kind of expect out of a grocery store. And then like the garlic I bought was just in shambles. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. It was all sprouted within like a day. I'm making it work. But that was my only big problem with it. I mean, overall though, I was generally, the apples looked really good though. So I'm not want to bash the whole produce department here.
Right.
So the apples were definitely.
I mean, Dollar Fresh is getting compliments, but we're also probably trying to kindly add suggestions like the produce.
We nitpick.
So yeah, every grocery store is going to be needing some improvement. And I mean, we got there in the morning. Sometime was it after 9 or 10?
So they were well stocked and faced by the time we got there.
Yeah, but there was no sack of oranges or anything like that. It was like
there were one bag of clementines.
Yeah, I'm like I just wasn't too impressed with that. And
their produce did need a little bit of work.
Yeah.
So I mean, just that's the part that would drive me to another store or make me rotate in another store a little bit more.
Yeah, and then the other thing I was kind of intrigued at first, at the end of our visit, I thinking that the store was probably not built all the way or finished all the way. It was like because there's that one side of the store was all kind of empty.
I'm thinking that they're going to use that for storage.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense.
I mean, I'm thinking that they bought out a store that didn't have a whole lot of storage space, mm-hmm. and they're using that for dry goods storage. Right. And then they took the storage space that was there and converted that to the cold space. That's what I'm thinking. And I've actually seen Shopko's use a similar format where they had like a portion of the store cordoned off so they could bring in big truckload buys. Hmm. They would have storage room for, so like when you buy more in bulk, you get it for a better price. And the same goes when the grocery store buys. The more they can buy, the cheaper the price they get on the point.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that they're using that space for some sort of dry storage.
Mm-hmm. And then, the two things that intrigued me was the layout and having Food Club. I think 80% of the store is supplied by Food Club, Topco. And then at the end of our visit, it was like the front end where the cash registers are, is like nobody there.
It was all self-checkout lanes.
Yeah, there's mostly, most of them are self-checkout lanes, except for like two, I think. Which they had like a regular one.
No, they were self checkout lanes too. But those are the NCR self checkout lanes that convert into a lane. But all you have to do is just flip the monitor and like shuffle some of the panels, and it turns into a self checkout lane. So they're modal checkout lanes.
Okay.
So I used to help work on those when I was working for Super Value.
Yeah, I think I saw an elderly couple. It looked like they wanted to go on a regular checkout lane. So that one of the cashiers was directing them to them, and they ring up their stuff.
But the cashiers were super helpful. Oh, yeah. When we came up there, I mean, we did all of our grocery store shopping for the cabin weekend up there, and the two cashiers were there helping us just run everything through as fast as they possibly could.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Right.
So overall, generally, a positive experience.
Yeah, very was. Yeah.
So then we stopped by at Marketplace, and that was kind of an ad hoc addition to our trip. The two places we knew we were going is we knew we were going to the Dollar Fresh and the Cash Wise.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason, I have more of a fainted memory of that Marketplace. I just remember the signage there, and we had to go through and we just missed the train when we went through the railroad crossing.
Yeah.
So that's the Marketplace we went to, right?
Yeah, that was the Marketplace. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, pretty well. I mean, for the size of the town of St. Augusta, it was about what I expected. For the day for being there on a Tuesday in the morning, shelves were very picked over. I remember there was a lot of product missing, and I'm not sure if that's a COVID thing or what was going on there, but it was just, it was very picked over. But the produce that was
picked. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have much comment on that one, but it was fun being there anyway. It's just refreshing and getting out of town. And then moving forward, if we want to get to the, and then we went to the Cash Wise in St. Cloud.
That was fun.
That was very fun. I actually wanted to spend a little more time there, which we did. We ended up buying our groceries, and I know we decided we were going to go to a sandwich shop for lunch, but I was like, you know, I don't
feel
like
it here.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, I'll just stay here and grab a couple sandwiches. So that's what I did. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I haven't been to a Cashwise in a few years, and I was really shocked that they really cleaned that up. I mean, that used to be like a dirtier version of Cub. But it was a mass discounter. I mean, it was about getting the truckload buys and pushing those low prices as low as they could.
Yeah.
And it was a mass buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And this was somewhere in between a Cub and a Class 2 Hy-Vee. It's like those old Hy-Vees down in Mankato, mm-hmm. but it was like not like the new Tier 3s out in the Twin Cities, but it was right in between there.
Okay. But yeah, I had a lot of fun walking around that one. And then we had that problem trying to find sparkling water, which happened to be... which happens to be in the same aisle as the laundry soap. I'm like, that don't make no sense.
Yeah, we had to stop and ask for help for that one. Yeah. That was kind of a weird place. So then the next day, then we went to go pick up Chantel. Yep. And so I'm going to have you chime in on this one. I'm sure you're kind of like, oh man, why do I get to talk? Well, now's your chance. So
let her talk now.
Yeah, we went to the co-op in your area. And that was pretty. What did you think of that?
I like the co-op. I don't typically shop at the co-op just because it's more on the pricey end.
Yeah.
Right now, but definitely when I get my budget in order, I definitely will shop there more.
All right.
But it's very homey and nice little coffee shop in there too.
I think that the Grocery Store Fanatics needs to spend more time on co-ops and showcasing a lot of them because they're good for the community. They have a higher ratio of locally made products, which means made right here in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're not owned by some mega corporation, and a lot of the money that they raise goes right back into the community.
Yep.
So I know that a lot of ours works with a lot of the local food shelves to make sure that they're getting organic produce and stuff to people in need who live in food deserts. Mm. I really think that's one of the great causes that Lake Winds Co-op does. does in my neighborhood.
Yep, our co-op every month or 2 months they pick a charity. New charity,
yeah.
In the Cambridge area.
That's a good investment. So I really like co-ops.
First time I was in that co-op, anyways, I bought a case of their sparkling water. I don't remember what flavor it was, but it had ginger in it. It was pretty good.
Was that the Waterloo brand, or was that?
No, I don't remember what the name was.
I think it was ginger apple.
Could be.
I've never had that one. That sounds good.
Yeah, it was very good. Everything was natural or actually organic. So, yeah. That's very good. But yes, yeah, that's it's always fun visiting that place and seeing the layout and what they carry, and just like you said, how their everything's local.
Another big part of the cabin weekend is that there are lots of board games to be played. We did start into some of them. We've played Sequence, we've played Zombie Dice, and what was the other one? Oh, the Oregon Trail. So Chantel, you played games with me most of Wednesday night.
Yep.
So Zombie Dice. We talked about that one in episode 3 of our podcast. So tell us what your reactions to that one were.
I loved it.
What did you like about it?
I loved that it was about strategy, but it was also about luck.
Yeah, it's a dice-based game, which I don't normally like dice-based games because of the luck. I like to have a little, but this just has just enough strategy to it with the three colors.
Yep.
With the green dice, the red dice, and the yellow dice. Having the different odds and knowing what those odds are and how many red dice have been pulled out of the pool. I like that. It's just enough strategy to make it cool.
Yep.
So that's a favorite one of my kids. So anybody who listened to episode 3 of the podcast knows that that's one of Leo's favorites. And he talked about that with me. Oregon Trail, probably the most difficult game I've ever played.
Yep. I loved it. It brought back memories of like being in school and playing on the floppy disk, but there's enough newness to it where it just made it fun and interesting.
Yeah, that game is nearly impossible to win. I have yet to win a game of that one. It's a cooperative game, and it's just like the video game. It's about going from point A to point B, and you deal with calamities that if you run out of medicine, you're dead. If you break a wheel and you can't repair it, you're dead. If you run out of food, you're dead. If you try to cross a river and you roll the wrong number, you're dead.
Yep.
If you get a snake bite, you're dead. In fact, it's more fun to see about how everybody dies.
Yep.
In that game. So the farthest I've ever seen anybody make it is like 5 or 6 tiers. Mm-hmm. So as you go on, you stack up the trail that you've been on. And when you get up to 10, that's when you make it to Oregon. But I've never seen anybody make it past 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think we were in the middle of 6 when I, or beginning of 6 when I died. And then you had 2 rounds before you died.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm always usually one of the first ones to die. I hardly ever make it past tier 2. So, but I've seen some games that I've been involved in. So, but yeah, when Sam and Alec are here, we're going to break out even more board games. We're going to have a lot more fun. And we'll bring them into this we'll talk to them. And that's all from the cabin weekend right now. And we'll be back shortly. We are here on day 2 of cabin weekend, and we have been joined by a few more people here now. We have Sam and Alec and Chris joining us in the studio today. Well, you guys, none of you guys here are really rookies for the cabin weekend. Sam, you're on 2 years here. Chris, you're on 3.
Yeah.
Yep. And Alec, this is your 3rd year as well.
That is correct.
All right. So, well, first off, let's talk about your guys' memory of the cabin weekend. So we've been doing this now for six years, come in at the last 3.
Yep.
So why don't you guys go ahead and share some of the memories that you guys have of this annual cabin weekend that we do.
Lots of good food and good board games and yay. Next.
I remember the first year you came home, you were sounding like death from
cigars.
Yes,
it was my cigar stash. Yeah.
Yes, and I thought he was going to die. He sounded terrible.
I think I had like 12 cigars.
Oh, I was a little scratchy. I was a little bit more acclimated to it, but I had 15, and even I was feeling like a dog from the cigars.
And this was over 3 days.
But, yes, there's been lots of games, lots of fun stuff, a lot of delicious food. And anything
that you remember from the past ones that, like, really kind of stick in your head?
To be honest, no, not really. But for me, this is more of a weekend to get away from all the crazy, hectic crap I have going on at home. Like, I would like to join in on more of the games, but it's also, this is my weekend where I
kind of get to do what you want to do, yeah.
Yeah, and At some point in the future, hopefully my life won't be so stressful that I'll be able to join in on more of the games. But otherwise, no, I just enjoy being here, being around the fun people, and enjoying the delicious food that makes me go home gaining 5 pounds.
Well, I'm glad I could be of service.
That tofu hash.
Oh, this is the first year the tofu hash isn't coming back.
Oh, no.
So good. We need that recipe.
We have it. Got to find it.
Okay.
Chris, what about you?
I remember last year and the awesome scavenger hunt cipher that you put together. That was a pretty complex bit of...
Yeah, but you solved it before 3/4 of the people were here.
No, he couldn't have.
No, no,
because
I wasn't one of
the people that came in late.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I was
yeah.
ultimately the villain.
Yes.
Yeah, I solved it in about one day, but I was one of the last people that came up that weekend.
That is true, yeah.
So context, in far as this cabin weekend goes, I come up about, Thursday night, Friday morning.
Yeah.
And so a good chunk of the crew is already here. No, but that cipher was great. In for context, it was about a 10-part scavenger hunt or so. There were 10 individual puzzles in each increasing difficulty, but I know a little bit about how to put some of those ciphers together, and the amount of effort that it took to do that and make them all interconnect the way they did was pretty incredible.
I'm pretty sure Alec and I were here before you, and by about the time that I got around to reading it, you had it solved.
Yes, and I will never forget what Triskaidekaphobia ever again.
Yeah, the fear. Error. The fear of 13. Awesome, good memory. So, what are we drinking today?
I currently have a couple shots of Dark Phantom Rye by Ben...
Dark Father Rye by Ben, yes. Ben Bruce Distillery. Yes, that's one of my special bottles I got just for this weekend.
And I'm also drinking some... I was drinking some of the mint whiskey that you bought.
Yeah, what'd you think of that mint one?
It needs to be mixed.
Yeah, that definitely was a mixed drink whiskey.
Starting off by itself, it's... got too much of the cough syrup taste.
Yeah.
But you throw I'm drinking it right now with just some Diet Coke, and it's not bad. The other one that I was drinking earlier was Woodfield Reserve.
Was that the one with the vanilla notes to it?
Yes.
I really enjoyed that one.
Can we back it up a little bit? So you're recommending mint and Coke as a good flavor combination?
Well, you got cilantro as one of the flavors for cola.
I'm looking at you skeptically, which works really well on an audio podcast. Are you kind of a madman that likes mint and orange juice?
What's not to like?
Yeah, that's a little bit of... I mean, have you ever drank orange juice after brushing your teeth?
Yes.
It's pretty awful.
I should also say my taste buds are kind of blown. I eat horseradish by the pound, and ghost peppers are nothing.
No wonder why you have to drink whiskey.
Yeah, I can confirm that he legit does this.
I love horseradish. I'm down for the horseradish. That's not the part I'm having problems with here.
All right.
That's all I got. Well, I don't know how often you and Steph like to peck, but if you build up your tolerance to his point, that's going to just plummet.
Well, I want to be able to enjoy horseradish, and horseradish is one of those things that I like in moderation in order to enjoy it.
What's wrong by the spoonful? With a cracker.
Tablespoonful.
I figured that if he's gonna do it, he's gonna do the big one.
Yeah, oh yes, he does. And usually it's a spoonful in the mouth, then a spoonful on the cracker, and then another spoonful in the mouth, and then he eats the cracker, and then he takes another spoonful.
I'm looking at Chris. Chris, you don't have anything for this? Back me up here, man.
I'm just pain. I have a visual and I'm just in pain.
I think the next time the Pocky Chip Challenge comes up, you need to come over and do that one with me.
I have no problem with that. All right. I've been wanting to try one of those chips.
It was a pretty intense experience. Well, another big cornerstone to the cabin weekend is it's literally we have a mountain of games every year, and we played quite a few of them already.
Yeah.
So let's kind of run down what we played. Cards Against Humanity. I've never played that before. That was freaking hilarious.
How did you get to 2020 without ever playing Cards Against Humanity?
And no one brought it up the last 2 years.
I think I had it last year.
No one brought it out last 2 years. Yeah, well, he might have had. We had so many games. It actually was almost kind of overwhelming. Like, to give you a visualization for this, we have this end table that sits next to an easy chair in our living room up at the cabin. And there was it looked like a Christmas tree of board games from the floor to, I would say, halfway to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And if well, I yeah, remember it was... right, that wasn't even all of them.
That wasn't even all the games. And it was just,
fit them there.
It was so much, and it was so overwhelming that it was hard to pick which game to play next. And I actually kind of felt that we stalled out on the games last year compared to the year before.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, the year before, it felt like there was someone playing a game, like, every single minute.
Yeah.
It never felt like the game stopped.
This is true.
And the game weekend seems to be, from coming from somebody who also ran game days at our house... you know, the not being able to play Cards Against Humanity. This game weekend seems to be for kind of those weird games that you have around where you need a certain number of people or the right group of people to play. In Cards Against Humanity, you know, that's a game that you can play with, well, you can play with grandma if you want.
No.
Right, everybody?
No,
I have done that.
Oh, yeah. Why, who doesn't want to learn about all the fun, interesting cards that I'm sure all of us are thinking about right now with grandma? Smegma. Look it up, grandma.
What was hilarious was my grandmother, I was playing with my grandmother, my mother, an aunt, and a couple cousins, and my grandmother was chiming in with the definitions for the words that my mother and my aunt didn't know. So we were all sitting here just laughing our heads off because why is it that my 90-year-old grandmother knows these things and my parents don't? And
I mean, if we want to go there, what are some of the fun cards that you have either had to describe or have somebody look up?
One that makes me cringe was the fact that my grandmother gave the definition for Bukkake to my mother and aunt.
Oh, that's, I, you know, I guess the other thing is, what is the card that somebody knew the definition of that you were just totally astonished by? Yeah.
There was that one, and then there was Schmegma, which there was a few people who chimed in with the definitions of that. And
my
mother did not care for the game very much.
I had to describe what, well, my very conservative stepmother, I had to read the term pixelated bukkake. And, or she said, bookcake. So we had to correct her pronunciation and at least steer her in the vicinity of what that word meant. And she then she was really excited. Again, apologies.
We got an editing tool. We're good.
Yeah. So we had to steer her again away or toward the right definition of what a blue waffle was. Because she's like,
I still don't know what a blue waffle is.
Google it.
Legit, that's the only thing you can do is Google it.
I don't know if I want to.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with, very little to do with the color blue, and absolutely nothing to do with waffles. Which, she was like, oh, blue waffles, this is great. I'm like, it's not a wholesome card.
No.
Please, no. It is not wholesome.
Well, going back to the fact that I haven't played this game before, one of the things I try to do while I'm up here is get one of those iconic games that I've never played before, and I try to play it. So, like, 2 years ago, I played Settlers of Catan for the first time. Last year was Tickets to Ride. This year, it was Cards Against Humanity was the one I wanted to play. I try to get one of those in every year.
Sometimes it can be easy to skip over some of the classic games, because, you know, like what we were talking about, you know, the game weekend, or at least gamer weekends in general, or hardcore gamer groups.
Yeah.
You tend to pull out the really esoteric games that just are totally off the wall, or some very boutique kickstarted thing that you want to break out and super excited about. But
last year we played Nemesis, which is a basically aliens horror movie that you're running through the ship trying to survive, and
aliens TN.
I got killed by an alien. And
I remember that. That was the game I had to step away from because it was just so, running so long.
Yeah, that one was probably a good couple hours.
After that, we played Say Anything.
Yep.
What would we think of that one?
It's kind of little like if Cards Against Humanity and Balderdash had a little party game, that's kind of what Say Anything is like.
Yeah, I can see that.
And maybe because we had just got done playing Cards Against Humanity,
it kind of felt the same to me.
You know, I was in a certain mindset, so I know at least what I was writing down was very geared towards that.
We all know that Lamprey kept showing up during that game.
Hey, you leave Petey out of this, okay? He is warm and he is happy.
Yeah, and the unicorns. You just have to love the unicorns.
Okay, just because I'm afraid of unicorns. Okay, they are a terrifying creature, and I think we can all agree that Batman would be a very superior superhero if he were literally afraid of unicorns. That would be an amazing, magical hero that all of us would both love and be terrified of at the same time.
Then we played a little bit of Magic afterwards. Yep. After everybody kind of went to bed, Chris, Alec, and I, we stayed up and played Magic. That was my first time getting the Jumpstart experience. That's where you go out and you buy 2 packs of Magic cards, you crack them open, and you just kind of squish them together, and it turns into a 40-card deck. That was pretty interesting. I really liked that. It was a good concept.
And considering I'm kind of an old fart, that was my literal first game of Magic ever.
And you rag on me for never playing Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, well, I'm not a nerd, so I don't play nerdy games like Magic.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sorry. I had a social life when I was younger.
This
I was
coming
super
from the guy who
awesome.
Showed up with a dork shirt.
I mean, hey, dork pride, man.
I can't argue that one.
Social life. Haven't you been seeing the same person for, like, since you were 15?
No comment.
What other games have we played here today?
We did the Jay and Silent Bob.
I love Jay and Silent Bob, but that game sucked.
What is this thing called? It's
Jay and Silent Bob Big Fat Card-On Game.
Yeah.
And it's about as crasser. It's even crasser than what you would expect.
It's like a really raunchy version of Would You Rather, but also not in a very fun or funny way.
The only thing I really liked was the battles. The only thing I liked was the battles. I could have played the whole game just on the battles.
If we wanted to do that, we should have just brought the game up Super Fight, which is kind of like a...
I was just going to go there, because that literally sounds like Super Fight.
It's a Cards Against Humanity, except for you're basically making fighters.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, it's like, you know, Unicorn Man versus Octopus Kid or something. But yeah, you just make a random, bizarre description of a superhero, and then you yell really loud about who would win in a fight.
Yes, and that's what the battle was in this game. But the other one, it seems a lot less combative.
Yeah, and you know, the dice element. So there's a dice element in the Jay and Silent Bob game where it adds a little bit of randomness, but it also kind of takes it away. Because again, the best shining part of the game, the monster battle, or, you know, coming up with this fake monster or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
It only came up once.
Yeah.
It came up once the whole game.
It only comes up on a dice game. In other aspects of the game, you can just kind of totally bypass the round by rolling the FU, and it's just, oh, I get cards, yoink, and then your turn is done.
Or, you know, they have a weird voting system, which really isn't very... It's not thought out well enough, I think, for a game to be...
So I overheard you guys talking about rolling the FU. Is it like a six-sided dice?
It's a six-sided dice, FU, and it's a specialized six-sided dice, and there's a side that says FU, and if you win FU, you automatically win the round, and you get 2 points, 2 out of 10 points.
Okay, so
how many sides have, since you have the dice, so she has the dice in front of her, how many sides have the FU?
It should just be one. Yeah.
There's it's one FU, there's one battle, and two pick and two price.
Wait, I'm bad at mathing off the top of my head. Is that an 18% chance or 16% chance of just the round being done?
18.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So 18% chance of the round just being done by a roll of dice.
And we hit that like 3 times in our game, I think.
Yeah.
So, and that was, it was not my favorite game. So, no. I mean, as much as I love Jay and Silent Bob, that'll go to the back of my closet. And it might be fun to play that if we had some teams, because there's a team version of it where you have 2 players per team and you have 4 teams. So if you can get 8 people together, there might be some more social element to it.
I actually would almost ditch the die roll and ditch most of the rest of the game and just pull the cards and do the battle.
Yeah. And, yeah. We did that once on a, you weren't there, but I know Chris was, we were doing, we did that on a virtual happy hour, as I would just pull the cards out and we'd do just the battle part of it.
Yeah. And that would probably be a much more fun version of the game.
But again, then at that point where, let's say if you're doing that 8-person version, you have to get 8 people that are wanting to play a game like that, or 8 people who are enough of a Jay and Silent Bob fan to maybe overlook the game's shortcomings and just be into the fact that it's Jay and Silent Bob or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. It really felt like it was a game that they just cranked out to raise some funds for a new movie or something.
But you could have literally given this game any other name, and you know, nothing about it really cries Jay and Silent
That's
Bob.
A very good call out. That is a super good call out. And lastly, we played this Incoherent.
Yeah,
I didn't really play that. I was making lunch when that came up. How was that game?
I crushed it. I'm freaking awesome at that game.
It's throwing words together that don't make sense that you say fast enough to try to produce a different phrase type thing.
Yeah, I can't come up with an example off the top of my head.
No, I was just going to say, pull out a card, because I think that's the only way you're going to be able to describe it. Honestly, I was listening from the couch before I actually joined into the game, and it was fun because you would be trying to figure out what something was, and I would be sitting there like, well, it's this. Like I should have been able to think about that, but I can't. It's kind of interesting.
They have an example on the back of the box, which is the statement is that you're showing the people who are trying to guess what the answer is real agent ship sip gold.
Real agents sip gold.
Which is...
relationship goals.
Exactly. Yes.
Because I'm awesome at this game.
Yes.
And you were at the back.
The other bit about the game, there are some categories for the cards. There's, what was it? Pop culture?
Party, pop culture, and scandalous.
Yeah. We talked about food, but we did not talk about the jambalaya.
And the funny part is that is a cheater way to make jambalaya. It's using an Instapot.
You know,
and what's wrong with cheating ways of making food?
During our conversation last night about the jambalaya, you were talking about an interesting mix that you use. How do you pronounce that again, Will?
I'm failing to recall this conversation.
You were saying something about, like, Zatarans?
Oh, Zatarans.
No, I believe you kept calling it Zatarans.
Oh, no, I was calling it Zartan from G.I. Joe. Yo, Joe!
Wait, Zartan. No, he read your fortune in big.
I've always used Penzi's Cajun seasoning, but yeah, the jambalaya turned out really well. So.
Yep.
The only thing I forgot I had some smoked chickens that I had made the previous day that was supposed to end up in there.
Oh, that would have been so good.
And I still say the only thing that could have made it better was smoked oysters.
Yeah, but that's such a niche thing that I can't do that for everybody else.
No, I agree. Like, yes, I think that smoked oysters would have helped it. To be honest, even the smoked chicken would have helped it. But I know that oysters are really hit and miss on who actually likes oysters or not.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I will also say that it was a very good Creole-style jambalaya as opposed to the Cajun one.
What's the difference between the two of them? You told me yesterday, but I forgot.
I think the main difference is tomatoes.
The tomatoes, yep. I have to have tomatoes in mine.
Creole ones generally have tomatoes. Cajun ones will have anything and everything.
Kind of like a potluck.
No, like, I'm going to go kill some rats.
There's a bigger difference between Cajun and Creole, but for the life of me, I can't remember what it is right now.
We were in
New Orleans. It's probably Zartan seasoning.
I really like the Zoltar flavor. For my preference, I would have liked a little extra kick, but I understand we are in the Midwest, and you do have to make it for a wide audience, so.
Yes. That's all from day two, folks. Thanks for joining us on Wandering the Weekend. So there was so much more to the cabin weekend that we didn't get to talk about. We did hamburgers from George Motz's book. We did the Michigan Olive Burger. We did some double onion fried smash burgers. We played a lot of other games throughout the night, and it was a real blast to see some of my friends right before the COVID shut us down again. So that's all for our special Wandering the Weekend episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Leave us a comment on any of our social media and let us know that you enjoyed it and let us know what your favorite part was, so that way we know to make more of these episodes. So thanks for listening. That's all from us at Wandering the Weekend. Prost! Thanks for joining us at Wandering the Weekend. For recipes from this week's episode, visit us at wanderingtheweekend.com or on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram at wandering_weekendmn. This has been a Beer Ploma LLC production. Be sure to follow us on Untappd to find out what breweries we'll be hitting next. Or join us on our Facebook page or on Instagram to get the latest in craft beer news.